I came up in the northwest corner of Union Square and headed for a huge bookstore I remembered on 17th Street. Campaigning politicians usually publish biographies ahead of election season, and news magazines are always full of coverage. I could have looked for an internet cafe instead, but I'm not proficient with the technology. And, anyway, internet cafes are much rarer than they were. Now everyone carries small electronic devices named after fruits or trees. Internet cafes are going the same way as phone booths, killed by new wireless inventions. The bookstore had tables at the front of the ground floor. They were piled high with new titles. I found the nonfiction releases and came up empty. History, biography, economics, but no politics. I moved on and found what I wanted on the back side of the second table. Commentary and opinion from the left and the right, plus ghosted candidate autobiographies with shiny jackets and glossy airbrushed photographs. John Sansom's book was about a half-inch thick and was called Always on a Mission. I took it with me and rode up on the escalator to the third floor, where the store directory told me the magazines were. I picked out all the news weeklies and carried them with the book to the military history shelves. I spent a moment there with some nonfiction publications and confirmed what I had suspected, which was that the Army's Human Resources Command didn't do anything that the Personnel Command hadn't done before it. It was a change of name only, a rebranding, no new functions, paperwork and records, like always. Then I sat on a windowsill and settled in to read the stuff I had picked up. My back was hot from the sun coming in through the glass, and my front was cold from an air conditioning vent directly above me. I used to feel bad about reading stuff in stores with no intention to buy, but the stores themselves seem happy enough about it. They even encourage it. Some of them provide armchairs for the purpose, a new business model, apparently. And everyone does it. The store was only just open, but already the whole place looked like a refugee center. There were people everywhere, sitting or sprawled on the floor, surrounded by piles of merchandise much bigger than mine. The news weeklies all had campaign reports, squeezed in between advertisements and stories about medical breakthroughs and technology updates. Most of the coverage was top-ticket stuff, but the House and Senate contests got a few lines each. We were 4 months ahead of the first primaries and 14 months ahead of the elections themselves, and some candidates were already lame ducks. But Sansom was still solidly in his race. He was polling well throughout his state. He was raising lots of money. His blunt manner was seen as refreshing, and his military background was held to qualify him for just about everything. Although, in my opinion, that's like saying a sanitation worker could be mayor. Maybe so. Maybe not. There's no logic in the assumption. But clearly, most journalists liked the guy. And clearly, they had him earmarked for bigger things. He was seen as a potential presidential candidate, either 4 or 8 years down the line. One writer even hinted he could be airlifted out of his Senate race to become his party's vice presidential nominee this time around. He was already some kind of a celebrity. His book cover was stylish. It was made up of his name and the title and two photographs. The larger was a blurred and grainy action picture blown up big enough to form a background to the whole thing. It showed a young man in worn and unbuttoned battle dress and full camouflage face paint under a beanie hat. Laid over it was a newer studio portrait of the same guy, many years farther down the road, in a business suit. Sansom, obviously, then and now. His whole pitch in a single visual. The recent picture was well-lit and perfectly focused and artfully posed, and showed him to be a small, lean guy, maybe 5'9 and 150 pounds, a whippet or a terrier rather than a pit bull, full of endurance and wiry stamina, like the best Special Forces soldiers always are, although the older picture was probably from an earlier time in a regular unit. The Rangers, maybe. In my experience, Delta guys of his vintage favored beards and sunglasses and keffiyeh scarves pulled down to their throats, partly because of where they were likely to serve, and partly because they liked to appear disguised and anonymous, which in itself was part necessity and part dramatic fantasy. But probably his campaign manager had selected the photograph himself, accepting the junior unit in exchange for a picture that was recognizable and recognizably American. Maybe people who looked like weird Palestinian hippies wouldn't go down well in North Carolina. The stuff inside the cover flap featured his full name and military rank, written out with a degree of formality. Major John T. Sansom, U.S. Army retired. Then it said he was the winner of the Distinguished Service Cross, the Distinguished Service Medal, and 2 Silver Stars. Then it said he had been a successful CEO of something called Sansom Consulting. Again, his whole pitch right there. I wondered what the rest of the book was for. I skimmed it and found it fell into 5 main sections. His early life, his time in the service, his subsequent marriage and family, his time in business, and his political vision for the future. The early stuff was conventional for the genre. Hard scrabble local youth, no money, no frills. His mom, a pillar of strength. His dad, working 2 jobs to make ends meet. Almost certainly exaggerated. If you take political candidates as a population sample, then the United States is a third-world country. Everyone grows up poor. Running water is a luxury, shoes are rare. A square meal is cause for jubilant celebration. I skipped ahead to where he met his wife and found more of the same platitudes. She was wonderful. The kids were great. End of story. I didn't understand much of the business part. Sansom Consulting had been a bunch of consultants, which made sense, but I couldn't work out exactly what they had done. They had made suggestions, basically, and then bought into the corporations they were advising and then sold their stakes and gotten rich. Sansom himself had made what he described as a fortune. I wasn't sure how much he meant. I feel pretty good with a couple $100 in my pocket. I suspected Sansom came out with more than that, but he didn't specify how much more. Another 4 zeros? 5? 6?